step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe this week. Nick Kieser, we are live from our game studio presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. If you want to watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day, our video stream is brought to you by Superbook Sportsbook. And if you want to weigh in on the conversation, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to touch on a lot of different things today. We're going to touch on the Nashville Predators staying alive last night. Their playoff hopes are still here. 3-2 win over Calgary last night. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss Will Levis visiting with the Tennessee Titans today. We're going to discuss a little NBA playoffs. I feel like people just not liking them this year. We got a lot of texts earlier this morning on the NBA playoffs. How invested are you? We're going to have Jonathan Hutton join us today at 10:30, and also Max Herz will join us at 9:45 to discuss the Nashville Predators. Speaking of the Preds, they're still there, Junie. They're still there, hanging around. They needed to get a win last night to keep their playoff hopes alive. They win in a shootout. I don't know if you've seen the video on Twitter. I tweeted out the video, but a pretty awesome reaction from the entire bench. You know, you see John Hines, high note, the entire team go crazy after they get the win in the shootout last night. Everybody's leaned over, you know, watching, and they get the win and they stay alive.
No, I mean, it was an excellent game last night. I mean, it had a playoff feel to it because it essentially was a playoff game. You know, both of these teams, the loser was going to go home. You know, whoever ended up winding up being that loser. Calgary did get a point, but it didn't matter. The Preds are still alive. And now it's just them and Winnipeg, both of which have two games to go. They're both going to be playing the Minnesota Wild and the Colorado Avalanche. And what the Preds need is for Winnipeg to lose both of those games in regulation, and the Preds get two wins, and the Preds will be in the playoffs. So, you know, I thought all hope was lost after Saturday wholeheartedly. I thought that that was just going to kind of set the morale down with the way the team played and how Winnipeg really bullied them on Saturday. But no, I mean, they came out and played awesome in Calgary. Afanasyev getting his first goal of his NHL career. He was playing lights out in that first period. And yeah, the Preds get the dub. Tommy Novak with the game winner in the shootout. It was an awesome game last night.
And talk about these young guys just rising to the occasion in such a heated moment like that. I mean, you're in a shootout and you have an opportunity if you win this game to not be eliminated from the playoffs. If they lost this one, there wouldn't have been a way that they'd still be able to secure a playoff spot. Everything this team has gone through this year, it really is incredible, Junie, that we are sitting here on April 11th, and these last two regular season games for the Nashville Predators mean a lot. Because if you were to tell me this a month ago, and I know we've had this conversation, that we'd be in the last week of the season and these games would matter, to the Nashville Predators in their hopes of gaining a playoff spot. I mean, we had David Poile on earlier this morning, and Joe asked him that question. Hey, what would you have said if I told you at the trade deadline that, okay, you're going to trade off all of these assets, and then Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, Josi are all going to be injured, and you're going to be heading into the last week of your season, and these games are going to matter a lot, depending on if you make the playoffs. And David Poile said, I'm going to be honest here, I would have said unrealistic. And I think, you know, if you're a Predators fan, watching this team play hockey this last month, it has got to, you know, spark just an excitement, a change of excitement. I think at the beginning of the year, you know, fans were upset, they were mad. And this last month of hockey has been so exciting, Junie. And I almost feel like it sparked the fan base. And now you have games at home. You know, being a Predators fan, being able to go watch a game in Bridgestone that matters, that could potentially secure them a playoff spot. I mean, it's just so exciting. I just can't get over it.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not, I think these next two games against the Minnesota Wild and Colorado Avalanche are going to be excellent games. I think there's going to be a huge turnout for them. You know, basically just to kind of give the round of applause for these young players and how they played, and one in particular who needs to be in the conversation for the Vezina Trophy. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. UC Soros played out of his mind last night. I mean, what was it? About 45-plus saves, 95% save percentage last night. Just absolutely tore it up. I'm having Nick do some research right now to try and find how many goals he saved above expected in just last night's game, because there were so many opportunities that Calgary had in front of the net where they were just trying to chip away at him, and he stayed like the stone-cold wall that UC Soros is. And it's just, when you look at the body of work that he has put together and the amount of games that he has saved for this team, and the amount of opportunities that he's given these young guys to be able to stay in a game and to have an ending like like last night's, it's second to none in my opinion. I think, you know, you look at Boston and their goaltending. They have excellent goaltending from their goalie, Ullmark, but I'm just flat out here to say that UC Soros is the most valuable goaltender in the NHL right now with the way that he's been playing, with the lack of talent that's been around him.
And a big part of the reason that this team, after all of the changes, all of the injuries, is in the position they are right now. John Hines spoke after the game on what that win meant and what it means going forward.
You're not all the way in there, but you're a step closer. Can you take some momentum from this win?
I certainly think you can. I mean, we do have a young group. Obviously, we made some trades at the deadline, and we have a lot of guys out injuries. So we are a younger team coming into this weekend with Winnipeg and Calgary. You know, it was two high stakes games, two of the highest stakes games of the year for us. We didn't handle it as well in Winnipeg. I thought tonight some of the things we needed to see better from our guys, we did. And it's nice to see, you know, as we told the team. I mean, that's what this is all about. And I think for players, it's about stepping up in high stakes game and key times, and we had guys that were able to do that tonight.
That was John Hines after the game, after the 3-2 win over Calgary. He said we had guys who were able to step up in it in the most important game of the year, Junie, and guys like Tommy Novak, who has been one of the biggest surprises this year. I remember Nick about a week or so ago asked Chase and I a question and said, you know, if Tommy Novak played the whole season, is he over a 40-goal scorer? I said yes. I mean, think about what he has done in half of the season for this team. And a lot of it, too, is the combination of veteran players getting hurt and these younger guys taking the opportunity and running with this opportunity. Because, you know, when we saw Philip Tomasino go back and forth between Nashville and Milwaukee, they still had all of these veterans on the team. They still had, you know, Mikhail Granlund, Forsberg was healthy, Duchesne was healthy, Nino Niederreiter was on the team. The team looked a lot different. I mean, even Cody Glass was getting some opportunities. But with the combination of players being sold off, injuries happening, and these young guys being quite literally their only legs that they have and putting them out there, it's given them an opportunity that they may not have gotten if all of this didn't happen. And I think, you know, when you talk about what is valuable in sports and what is valuable moving forward in your career, I don't think there's anything more valuable than having young guys play in moments like this. We talk a lot about, can the player rise to the occasion? Can they take the heat of this moment? Can they thrive under the pressure of, okay, if we win, we move on. If we lose, these next couple of games don't matter whatsoever in the playoff race. And I think, you know, them getting this experience, whether or not, you know, they win these next two and it end up advancing to the playoffs, I just think that the experience this young team is getting right now in these high-pressure situations, in a shootout last night and being able to capitalize off of that, I think it's really, really valuable experience for these guys.
Okay, Keiser, so you found that saves versus expected goals last night for UC Saros. How many basically points did he save off the scoreboard last night?
Okay, so, and just so I can correct this politely, Saros made, I think, 43 saves last night, which is the second most he's made the entire season. There were about four or five other games that he had made that same amount of saves. And the expected goals, or I'm sorry, the goals save above expected was 1.96, meaning he was roughly saving, you know, over two goals last night from being scored. So when you take a look at how they played the Flames last night and the amount of ozone time that there was, I mean, the Preds should have probably lost that game, if you ask me, probably about 4-2. They should have lost that game by a larger margin by far. So it was fun to watch them last night sitting in here till 1 o'clock in the morning. But I will say, UC Saros and Tommy Novak unanimously are the MVPs, if you ask me.
I would definitely agree with that. I mean, Tommy Novak has been the surprise for this team all season long. I mean, he just continuously shows up in these big games. But UC Saros, I mean, we were talking about it around the trade deadline as to whether or not he should be a trade piece. And I feel honestly silly for even considering that at this point, moment in time right now with what he's done. It's just, it goes to show you in sports that, you know, sometimes when you expect something to happen, like, you know, moving off a bunch of old guys and your top, your four most expensive players get injured and all these young guys come in and they're still fighting and playing, you never truly know. But I will say this. So we had mentioned that the Avalanche and the Wild are the remaining two games for both the Predators and the Winnipeg Jets, in that they need the Jets to lose both of those games in regulation, and the Preds need to get wins against both of them. The difference in this, Michelle, is that the Preds get a little bit of rest, and they play both of these teams at home back-to-back Thursday and Friday. The Winnipeg Jets have to go to Minnesota and Colorado to go and take on these opponents, and those are both really tough places to play and get a win. And especially when we look at how tight this is, you know, Minnesota and Colorado are both fighting for positions. You know, Colorado's taking on the Oilers tonight, and that's going to be, you know, kind of the it's going to decide on playoff positioning for those two teams as well, because they're a point apart. So a lot of moving aspects, a lot of things that these teams are still playing for. So to sit here and say that, you know, it's very unlikely that the Preds could slip into this position, I would say it's not like the most unreasonable thing to think that they still have a decent shot to make the playoffs.
It'll be a tall, tall task. At 9:45, Max Herz will join us as well. We'll take a look at the NHL playoff picture. We'll take a look specifically at the Preds and preview their games coming up next. But coming up next, Will Levis will be visiting the Tennessee Titans today. And Derek Mason compared Will Levis to a certain quarterback, and I know Junie will be very excited about that. All on the other side, you're listening to Jason Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today and tomorrow. Nick Kieser with us on the ones and the twos. We are live from our game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. If you want to watch us streaming, watch our beautiful faces on the stream, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Junie, I previewed this to you before we got on air this morning. I said that Derek Mason made a comparison to Will Levis. And I'm not going to say anything. I didn't tell you who it is. Let's listen to who D-Mace compared Will Levis to.
Now, Ben still turned the ball over at times, but I think he got better because he understood that if we're going to win, I got to protect the football. Now, he had hell of a weapons to throw it to his time with Pittsburgh, you know, all the way up until his retirement. But he was a high-volume turnover guy in college. I think he averaged over 10 turnovers in his last two or three years of his college career, if I'm not mistaken.
Lord.
But he had all of the other, you know, tangible things in those traits that you want from a quarterback: big, strong, physical, tough. You know, can throw the ball through a wall. And this is what Will Levis possessed as well, because some of these same things that we're talking about Will Levis, they were talking about Roethlisberger as well.
So that was Derek Mason on who he compares Will Levis to. Junie, our resident Steelers fan, your thoughts?
I don't think it's a bad comparison at all. I mean, when you look at Big Ben's college stats when he was back at Miami of Ohio, I mean, D-Mace laid it out perfectly. He had 10-plus interceptions every single year that he was in school. You know, his touchdown numbers did rise just about every single season, and he did throw for 37 touchdowns his final year there in his junior season. But again, he's also playing at Miami of Ohio, mm-hmm. Rather than playing in the SEC for, you know, one of the worst SEC programs in college football. So there is a little bit of a difference there. I mean, I look at it as they're very similar prospects, as in a lot of people looked at Ben as a raw, big arm, big guy, could move around in the pocket, would run you over in the open field. And that's exactly what Will Levis is. And I think if you put Big Ben in the SEC back in the early 2000s, you would have seen the same kind of numbers that you would see from a Will Levis. The thing about it is, and again, we've touched on this countless numbers of times, is would Big Ben have developed the same way if he was in Phillip Rivers's position and went to the Chargers rather mm-hmm. than going to a historic franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers? That's the thing. If Will Levis wants to succeed, he's going to have to go to a really good situation. And I've been saying this countless numbers of times. If, you know, he goes to the Colts, the Raiders, and a team that we haven't even been mentioned is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, with DK Metcalf, you know, Pete Carroll at the head coach, good defense, good run game. Because when you look at Big Ben stats when he first came into the NFL, I mean, the numbers aren't going to blow you off the page. You know, 2,600 yards his rookie year, right? And then 17 touchdowns and 11 picks. But here's the number. In the regular season, he was 13-0 his rookie year. Because why? Pittsburgh had an elite mm-hmm. defense. They had a great running game, a Hall of Fame running back in Jerome Bettis, a borderline Hall
the
of Fame.
Buzz!
The Buzz! a borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver in Hines Ward. So everything was set up for, you know, Pittsburgh to be ready to win now. They were just waiting on that quarterback, mm-hmm. and Tommy Maddox at the time wasn't going to do it. And I'll also tell you this. Where was Big Ben drafted in the 2004 draft? Does anybody know? Can anybody say it off the top of their head?
11th?
He was picked 11th.
Ooh,
right where
there
the Tennessee Titans are sitting this year. And Will Levis, as he is starting to drop and lose some of that momentum in the top five, Maybe the Big Ben comparison isn't a bad one, but Will Levis, he has all the intangibles. He has the arm. It's just the turnover stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just knocking him. He just needs to be in a good situation with a good coach, with the surrounding parts around him, and I think he'll succeed.
So Will Levis will meet with the Tennessee Titans today. You know, we talk about all of these quarterback prospects, Junie. We've talked about him, Anthony Richardson, even Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, which I think will be unobtainable for the Tennessee Titans just because they're 1-2, and we can assume that that's where they're going to go with the Panthers and the Houston Texans. But we add Hendon Hooker into the conversation, and, you know, we cast this wide net. And you mentioned Big Ben, one of the greats, one of the quarterback greats, got drafted 11th overall. Patrick Mahomes, similar situation, got drafted 11th or 12th, I think, so somewhere around there. You know, we talk about these guys a lot, and the likelihood that all five, the likelihood that one of these guys out of this quarterback class exceeds expectations is so, so slim, right? You know, when we look at different quarterback classes, and I think as of recent, you know, Joe Burrow going number one overall, of course, we've already seen what he did in such a short amount of time with the Bengals, with a very depleted roster, you know, going all the way to the Super Bowl. We look at Trevor Lawrence. Once he finally got some pieces around him, once he got a head coach, an offensive-minded head coach, and Doug Peterson, you've seen them clicking, and you've seen him take the next step. Justin Herbert is another one. But, you know, when we look at specific classes, we can talk right now about, okay, Anthony Richardson, his ceiling is the highest, but I also think his floor is the lowest. And people think that Bryce Young could start right now, but you know, if you go number one overall, you're going to the Panthers, and that roster isn't great. So, you know, when we're talking about these quarterbacks, I do think that so much of where you go and where you end up depends on how you develop as a quarterback. There are some guys who, you know, can defy it all, like a Joe Burrow. You can go to the Bengals, you cannot have a good roster, and you can still thrive. You know, but I look at a guy like a Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a guy who, you know, we've compared an Anthony Richardson and a Will Levis to the guys who are, you know, just big guys, strong. They might have had some turnover issues and not that successful in college, but are viewed as, you know, a good prospect and viewed similar to Josh Allen because, you know, we saw Josh Allen be able to overcome that. But I look at who was developing him, Daboll. And we've seen that what Brian Daboll can also do with the Giants and what he did with Daniel Jones. You mentioned him yesterday. You know, he's such an offensive genius. We saw what Andy Reid was able to do with Patrick Mahomes. I do think Patrick Mahomes is on that upper echelon tier, and we've seen that. But, you know, how much does it depend on the organization and who specifically is going to be developing you?
And that's the question that we need to look at is if the Titans do draft a quarterback, it's not going to be Mike Vrabel that's the one that's going to try and develop and get the maturation of the quarterback. It's going to be Tim Kelly and Charles London, who they just hired as the quarterback's coach. And when you look at these guys' body of work, do we feel confident that if they draft a guy based off of his potential, that one, they can scheme the offense around the talents of that young quarterback, and two, can they work to kind of shake away and take the rust or the proneness to turn the ball over in order to get the most out of these guys? That is the question that we really need to look into, is if these coaches on this staff can assist Vrabel and get the most out of some of these prospects that have clear flaws.
And there is another test that is used to – it was created by two guys here at Vanderbilt, and it's a cognitive test. It's a test that you give athletes, and you can tell, you know, how fast they process something, what their mind is like when they see a defense. And essentially, it's this algorithm, and you get a score on it. And Joe Burrow – got around a 97. This is out of 100, which is off the charts, very, very significant. And Bryce Young, no, his score hasn't been specifically said, but it is said is in the range of Joe Burrow. There was another quarterback that is visiting here today that scored similar to there. How much do we play that into the success he can have with the Tennessee Titans? Junie and I will discuss all on the other side. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get some autographs and pictures. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila, pure and simple. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. The next couple of days, Nick Kieser with us as well, discussing the quarterback situation and if the Tennessee Titans could draft a quarterback in this year's draft, whether that be moving up to the third overall pick, whether that be staying at 11 and having a quarterback drop to them. Will Levis, quarterback prospect out of Kentucky, will be visiting with the Tennessee Titans today. And, you know, Junie, we talk about arm strength and film on the field and all of these different things that kind of create the magic recipe for a successful quarterback, right? You know, your physique, your arm strength, your quickness, your release quickness, your speed, your accuracy, all of these different things. Well, there's a new thing. And, you know, as football gets into analytics and it becomes a big part of, you know, how you view players, how you view opponents, matchups, and Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are buying a little bit more into analytics. That was one thing Rand Carthon mentioned, you know, when he had his introductory press conference. And it's been something that the Tennessee Titans haven't used heavily throughout the years. But there's this specific test, and they use it a lot of times on quarterbacks. I mentioned that, you know, Joe Burrow took this S2 cognitive test, and he scored a very, very high score, a 97. And it's all about, you know, how you process things when you're on the field. Bryce Young, it was noted, his official score hasn't been released, but saying that he has been around that area. So what is this S2 test? So I'm going to read right off their website what it is. In the NFL, milliseconds define making a play or getting beat. What separates wins and losses are gamers who have the ability to make the right split-second decisions on the field. S2 sports science evaluates cognitive abilities in game situations so that players understand the level of their instincts. Anticipation, reading, reacting, and adapting to the game are now measurable skills. So, you know, you talk about, okay, what's your 40 time? What's your, you know, how far can you throw the ball just in an open field with one wide receiver? Now, S2 is becoming a way that teams and the league itself can measure, okay, how would you react and how fast can you react in a situation like that? And I think it's really, really interesting because it hasn't been a big part of, you know, the way people evaluate certain players. And actually, Albert Breer came out on Twitter and noted, I need to find the exact tweet quickly. I should have had this pulled up. Okay, Albert Breer, we've referenced Bryce Young's S2 score. I'm told that Kentucky QB Will Levis wasn't far off from Young on it, with a score of 93 on the test. Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, and Josh Allen aced the S2 coming out. Levis has 30 visits with the Titans, Bucks, and Falcons this week, per sources. So he also mentioned some of the quarterbacks who are in the league right now who had high S2 tests. Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Josh Allen. We know what Joe Burrow, Josh Allen are. Justin Fields, a big test will be for him this year on that roster. But Junie, how much do you weigh that when, you know, looking at a prospect? I know you can say, you know, turnovers on the field and the film doesn't lie. And we've had people on the text line just saying, well, if you watch his film, I don't know how you can say that he is, you know, a first round quarterback. But how much do you weigh that? And Titans fans, weigh in. Text us, call us 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Does that matter to you? Do you care about something like that? Or do you not read too much into that?
I wouldn't make it the end-all, be-all for sure. I mean, obviously there's going to be outliers. You're going to hear more of the success stories than you are going to be the failing stories. I'd be interested to see who has taken the test and gotten a really high score and didn't pan out. That would also be a really good conversation to just kind of compare and contrast. Because to be honest with you, I'm not as familiar. I mean, I've heard about this test, and I know what the test is for. But like I said, it's not the end-all, be-all. My thing about it is – When I think about Josh Allen, and I think about him at Wyoming and all the hype that he was getting and generating, I didn't understand it at the time. Mm-hmm. I was like, this guy is just, you know, he's a big guy with a big arm, and, you know, I don't believe he's going to pan out. He didn't even get 60% on his passes while he was playing at Wyoming. You know, he didn't play, you know, high caliber talent. You know, his win-loss record, I felt like, wasn't what it should have been in college with where he was playing. Mm-hmm. And with all that being said, you know, look what he's done. Look how he's panned out. Look what he, you know, he's become, and how, you know, Buffalo has put stuff around him. And I just truly believe that, you know, if Will Levis is getting high grades, you know, with his arm talent, with his mobility, with his test scores here, you know, he's confident. A lot of his former teammates have come out and talked about how much of a leader he is. If he has that kind of moxie and he carries himself to that high of a standard and he's that big of a baller with all the traits that we've seen, I don't understand why people are so on the outs with him. I truly believe that, you know, because whenever I'm on Twitter and I see Will Levis mentioned anything with the Titans, everything is all negative. And going back and looking at the film, I mean, I can see why when you look at the game that he played against Tennessee. I mean, that was one of his worst games that he's ever played in college. And I get it. And that's what you've seen. That's the one game that you've watched. But I've watched him in numerous games, whether it was the year prior when he was actually getting a lot of this hype, and this past year when he was going through all the adversities that he was. So I was looking at some of his game film, watched his game film against Florida and Tennessee, and the one common denominator that I'm seeing with this year with Will Levis was he didn't really have a lot of time to set his feet. You know, you're watching him move around in the pocket, a lot of open rushers, a lot of missed blocking assignments, and he's throwing off-balance throws and not getting his foot placement correctly, his and all that good stuff. And that's important when you're trying to, you know, judge the accuracy of a guy. And I just see it as bad O-line, you know, receivers that were young and inexperienced, new OC, dealing with injuries all year. I just think that Titans fans need to look at this with more of an open mind, because if he is there at 11, he is going to be in consideration. And we'll hear some reports and rumblings about how today's meeting went with the Titans, but it will be very interesting to see if they end up drafting him 2 weeks from this Thursday, because I really do believe that this guy, if he lands in the right situation, could be a star quarterback in the league.
So the two who created this S2 cognitive test, they actually were neuroscientists from Vanderbilt here in Nashville. Brandon Alley, one of them, and this is an Athletic article on, you know, what is the test. And they said, we consider anything above the 80th percentile to be elite. So anything, you know, over 80%. We mentioned Joe Burrow scored in the 97th percentile, got a 97 out of 100 on it, and also mentioned that Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen were guys who scored top in there. Justin Fields was mentioned as well, Bryce Young, and Will Levis. Who do you think is another quarterback? So he played half of the year in the NFL. He wasn't a starter at the beginning of the year, but was successful in the playoffs. Any guess who scored really well on this test? And was in the mid-90s.
And it was this year?
Mm-hmm.
And he had success in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play the first half of the year.
Yep.
Brock Purdy.
Ding, 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 ding.
What was his score?
Mr. Irrelevant. They said mid-90s. So whether that's 93, 4, 5... mid-90s.
And there's Mr. Irrelevant. That also goes to our point, is that, you know, he's Mr. Irrelevant. A lot of people overlooked him in the draft, and he fell to the right place. It just goes to show you that, you know, it all is predetermined on where you go. And I truly believe that a lot of these teams that are up here close to the draft, like the Carolina Panthers, they have a young and up-and-coming O-line, a good defense. You know, they were one of the top rushing teams in the league. Quarterbacks that go to, like, Carolina or Seattle, who has some good receivers, you know, or a Las Vegas. They have a good O-line.
They've got a good running back, some weapons.
There's good teams on the top of the draft that have good foundations on offense that a quarterback could kind of come in and flourish in. And I just think that when you look at the traits of all these guys, you know, Anthony Richardson, he's just so underdeveloped as a passer that it's just going to be hard for him at the NFL level. He could make up with some of that with his athleticism in college, with his size and his speed and his arm strength. Some of that stuff could get overshadowed. But when it comes to, like, making those pinpoint accurate throws, getting your feet set and flat out making him, Will Levis can make those throws when he has the time and protection. I just don't think guys like Anthony Richardson and even sometimes a Bryce Young, with the way that he maneuvers and how he likes to play and like juke out edge defenders and defensive linemen, those guys are way more athletic at the pro level. And when you look at a guy like that really relies heavily on his playmaking ability, I think that size and his lack of speed at the NFL level is going to hurt him, whereas Will Levis has that size, has that durability and strength to be able to overcome some of those things.
And for a size perspective, Ben Roethlisberger, when he came into league, was 6'4", 241. Will Levis is a 6'3", 230. So an inch and about 10 pounds separate those two, just from a size perspective. Dave texts in on the text line and says, it makes me think of the movie Moneyball. There are certain things that you can use analytics for, but it still cannot quantify clutch moments without the eye test. Who will come through when the game is online? Oh, yeah, Dave, I completely agree. You know, this is just, you know, another layer, another test that allows you to evaluate and look at these guys. And it's something that you can't see, right? You can watch film. You can watch how they react in situations. But this is somewhat of a way that you can see how they think and what is going through their mind when things like that happen. Just very, very interesting, and especially when we lay out some of the guys whose test scores are out there who have scored high on them, you can see, you know, what they became and what they are in this league right now. But not everybody has to post their scores. You know, people don't. If you don't do good on it, I doubt the player is going to put their score out there. But just another level to this evaluation process, Junie.
I will say this really quickly. I am just excited for the fact that Tim Kelly is now the offensive coordinator of this team. Because when I look at his history of being an offensive line assistant, a tight ends coach, which, you know, tight ends coach, they have to work with the blocking scheme and the passing scheme. That's why a lot of tight ends coach gets hired as head coaches and offensive coordinators. You know, Deshaun Watson had his best year of his career, and part of the reason that he got paid so much is because of his 2019 and 2020 seasons under Tim Kelly. I'm really excited to see what he can do as the offensive coordinator, especially with developing a young QB like that again. So it'll be really interesting to see once he gets that opportunity about what he can do with that guy.
Yeah, I think that's a really important note, Junie. Coming up next, Max Herz will join us. Going to take a look at the Preds. They survived a win last night, 3-2 over Calgary. Their playoff hopes are still alive. Going to talk to Max Herz. And then at 10 a.m., Texas, call us 615-787-1025. What is your interest on the NBA playoffs? Playing games start tonight. Do you like the NBA? Are you in on the Grizzlies? We want to hear all your thoughts. Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators in the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Sarrow.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Here's all the injuries. Let me lay those out for you. Here's all the injuries that are going to come. The guys are going to be hurt. And you're going to be in this thing still with two games to play. You say what?
I'd say that was unrealistic at the time, being 100% honest. I mean, you're taking away top fours of your team, Matthias Ekholm on the back end. What we didn't know also is we didn't have any idea that we'd be so banged up and have so many injuries. I mean, two nights ago we had nine players out. So no realistic chance based on what has happened. But I mean, as I've always said, you just never know in this business. I mean, we have given other people opportunities that would not have gotten those opportunities, and they have come through. And as I just said earlier, I think it's been a struggle in some games. Like last night, you know, we get two goals, which if you get to three, you usually have a chance to win. And we've been having trouble scoring. But I think this could come, you know, with the younger players like Tomasino and Evangelista, to name a couple of guys. But I'm very proud of what's taking place in what was. It has been at times a very, very difficult year to be where we are.
That was David Poile earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And Joe asked him a great question, Junie. He said, okay, David, what would your reaction be on March 3rd, the trade deadline, if I told you that you would sell off all these assets and then your top players in Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Roman Josi would all be out with injuries? And I would tell you that these last two games matter a lot in whether you make it into the playoffs. And he said, I would say it's unrealistic. And I think, you know, hearing that, and I know we've discussed this, but it's this Predators team that, you know, can't seem to go away. They're right on the tail of Winnipeg. They're right there, whether they lose one and then they win a big one and they end up being 1 point behind or, you know, 3 points behind. Then they drop to five. And we think, you know, I remember after the Pittsburgh game when they got shut out after the Boston game, I thought, oh, you know, great win over Boston, but, you know, it's just not in the cards for them. It's okay. They're really shorthanded. They got a lot of young guys out there. Nope, here they come. They come back. They win another one. Right, you know, and I love what Willie Donick and Caroline and Dime say. They call them the pesky Preds, like a little fly that just like won't go away because they're just right on the right. They keep being right there. They keep, you know, you lose one, but then you win one. They're right there. They refuse to go away. And, you know, I can't harp on this enough. And I know we discuss UC Saros, and he is a huge part of why this team is there. I mean, he's been performing at such a high level. And I think it honestly is crazy to think that he hasn't been discussed more in the Vezina conversation. And I know that's been a point that's been hit on Twitter because of how incredible he's been performing, you know, these last couple of years, breaking records. You know, you think earlier in the year against the Hurricanes, he had 63 saves. And I think if you combine both of the games against the Canes, he's had over 90 saves. Nick mentioned earlier today that he had, Nick, what was it, 43 or 44 last night? Saves?
He had 43 last night.
43 last night. So
does that count the shootout saves that he made?
You do not count the shootout saves.
Okay, because some of those saves were pretty excellent as well.
And I just want to let you guys know too. And I'm pulling over my iPad because it's going to help me out here for a second. But I thought Bally did a good job with these stats last night. They threw this out there that Saros had 9 steals, 40 quality starts. One over 1,800 shots faced this year. Saves. Slot saves, he has 775. This is all before the game, okay? And then wins with 30-plus saves, he now has 19, which is the most in the NHL. I mean, it's not that he's not getting the hype he deserves for the Vezina, Michelle. I think it's just the case of he's not on a team that's already in the playoffs, and he's on a team that has only needed him to be their MVP. Because all these other teams, like the Bruins, they're a team that has a good goaltender plus good defense. The Rangers, same thing for them. Mm-hmm. But look at Saros. Saros is number one in almost every category, albeit it's probably because injuries and then how they play. And the other thing, too, is he is just that damn good. It's true. He's just that damn good.
Yeah, and I mean, another stat I want to pull up here. Willie Donick tweeted it the other day. Nobody has more saves above expectation in the last decade than UC Saros. Yes, I said decade.
He's number 7 overall in NHL history, by the way, in that category.
So when you look at these last 3 years, he has been one of, if not the top goalie, the last 3 years in the NHL. And I understand all of Nick's points that he made on, you know, the Bruins goalie and the Rangers goalie, but I look at what they have and I look at their roster and I compare that to the Nashville Predators roster. And I look at, you know, yes, you have Roman Josi, but he's been out for the last couple of games injured and the defense has not been there to help UC out whatsoever. So you almost would think that would give him a better case. That would give him a better case because of what he's been able to overcome this season, the roster he is on, but yet he is still with this team in helping them win a playoff spot. Craig on the text line texts in and says, if we win on Thursday and then a game on Friday is to get into the playoffs, do you start Saros back-to-back on Thursday and Friday? You have to. I think you have to. I mean, if you win Thursday and, you know, UC's got to play and Friday is the determining factor on if you make it into the playoffs, you have to play him. I mean, if they didn't play him, it's almost like you're waving the white flag. How can you not play your best player out there? I mean, the reason you focus on his load management throughout the year and you got a guy like Kevin Lankinen is because towards the end of the year, he is such a huge part of the reason that you win games night in, night out. Just take away what the roster looks like right now. But, I mean, he's been a huge part. He's the best player on this team. Well, him and Roman Josi. So yes, I 100% think you have to play him back-to-back.
Well, I mean, but think of it this way, though. You know, the Jets take on the Wild tonight, and if they win the game or if they even take it to overtime and just get a single point, the Preds are eliminated. So do you want to risk your best player in a game that's meaningless towards the end of the game, towards the end of the season when you're already eliminated? That would be the only instance to where I would be like, okay, you know, that makes sense. You know, you don't want to put him out there in a meaningless game and an opportunity to get hurt going into the offseason. You know, whereas, you know, if the Wild, who are going to be playing at home, they're still fighting for playoff positioning, even within the division, that, you know, If they end up getting the win in regulation and the Preds are still in it after tonight going into their game Thursday against Minnesota, then yes, you most certainly have to play him and he will play. But I'm not gonna be the one to knock the Preds for sitting him if they're already eliminated. Just flat out, I mean, UC has already played more games as a starting goaltender than I would say majority of the league. Is there any, Nick, you might know this off the top of your head. Does any other goaltender in the NHL have more starts than UC Soros this season? Last year he led the league in starts, but this year.
The only one that probably would is Linus Ullmark, but even then they split him quite a bit. I mean, that's the only guy that's comparable. The other one, too, would probably be Connor Hellebuck. It just is a matter of who's been playing more lately. I think it's Hellebuck.
Yeah, I mean, and the only reason I said, you know, start them back-to-back, if the playoffs are out of the question, that's a completely different story.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, and the text from Dave was, you know, from Craig is, if the playoffs are still on the table,
do you play him
back-to-back 100%?
Most certainly.
Got a lot to discuss about the Nashville Predators. Max Herz ditched us today, so we're going to have to, you know, wake him up. Maybe he'll join us later in the show. We've got Jonathan Hutton joining us at 10:30. But coming up next in the second hour of the show, what are your thoughts on the NBA playoffs? Do you like the NBA? Are you interested? Do you want to watch the Grizzlies? I know there's been a couple different things, such as the Mavs not playing some of their star players in their last game. Text us or call us 615-737-1025. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.